Well, brothers and sisters, I'd like to return this evening to these inspired and profound words of Ecclesiastes, and I hope that we'll all benefit from its wisdom. If you think back to previous weeks, we've seen that the fundamental issue that the book puts before us is not that life is meaningless, as many interpret the book, but that life is short. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher. It doesn't mean meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. It's not like the preacher is a modern philosopher who's suffering the despair of postmodernism. No, remember, it means breath. A breath, a breath. Everything is a breath. Human life is a breath that lasts just for a moment. All flesh is like grass. The wind blows and it's gone. Life is fragile and we're often just blown about by winds we don't understand, events and powers and forces that control our lives we can do little about. We're grasping at trying to catch the wind. So the key question that the preacher asks is, what does it profit a man from all his labour under the sun? Remember, what he's really saying there, to put it in different words, is, what will we have to show for it when we come to the end of our brief lives? When our lives are weighed up at the end, what will we have? What will we leave behind us? What will our lives have amounted to? And just a breath, says Ecclesiastes. What's all our striving, hard work, endeavours? Just a breath. So how do we then live wisely if our lives are so brief? How do you work wisely so that there is some profit, there is benefit, there is something to show at the end of your life? So far we've looked at the opening introduction to the book when the preacher introduces these questions. Well, this evening I'd like to begin and give you just a little bit of an introduction to the next section, which really begins in verse 12 from where we read, and which goes to the end of chapter 2. And in this section, the preacher is telling us about his own search for answers, how he devoted himself to looking for the answers to these questions, and like he's gone on a quest. And he himself has deeply felt these things and wrestled with them. And that's what's so striking about this passage. It's a very kind of almost, it's autobiographical. It's very personal, as the preacher is striving and telling us how he's labored to find answers. Well, in verse 12, he introduces himself as a preacher, king over Israel in Jerusalem, and that he was gifted with wisdom more than all who'd come before him. Now, that really does identify for us with certainty that the preacher is Solomon. It is Solomon. There were only two kings of Israel who ruled over Israel from Jerusalem. The first was David and the second was Solomon. Because after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. And of course, we know from Kings and Chronicles, Solomon was given an especial gift of wisdom. So what he tells us about his life here fits what we know about his reign, about how greatly prosperous he was. Sadly, if you do study this book seriously, you'll find a lot of the modern commentators and scholars reject the idea of Solomon as the author. And they'll say it's some later unknown philosopher pretending to be Solomon. I don't want you to be troubled by that. That's just, to me, that's just unbelief and just not accepting what the scriptures say. But to me, it seems pretty clear. But I suppose if there's one thought I really want you to think about as we begin this section, is it's just so interesting how honest Solomon is about his own struggles with this. And if you look at the passage, look how many times he talks about what's in his heart. Verse 12, I set my heart to seek and search. Verse 16, I communed with my heart. Chapter 2, verse 3, I searched in my heart. Solomon is speaking to us heart to heart. And he's gloriously honest about his own failings. At one point in chapter 2, if you look at verse 17, he says, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. Verse 18, I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun. So as he's searching for wisdom, he admits that at times he's frustrated and he's angry and he's confused about this human predicament that we're in. That in particular, everything that he could have built and spent his life doing could all be ruined by the next person to come along. I think it's helpful to understand this is not how kings in the ancient world talked. You see, there are other writings that have survived and come down from the ancient past where philosopher kings searched for the truth, whether that was for eternal life or wisdom or glory. There's more than a few ancient pagan kings who published works a bit like this. But they're very different to how Solomon writes. I mean, that's the context in which Solomon's first sending this out into the world. The other kings, though, a lot of their writings are boasts about their wealth and their names and their glories and their kingdoms and how that it'll never end and it'll go on forever and ever and they'll be remembered forever. And at the end of their works, they either say they're going to become gods themselves or that they shall never be forgotten. But with Solomon, it's so different, isn't it? He's speaking as a real man to us, and the whole tone is of a humbled, chastened man who doesn't have all the answers. He's experienced the heartaches of life. And pastorally, it's like he's coming alongside us. He's like a veteran who's been in the wars, and he's going to say, let me tell you what life's really like and what it's really about. And he does it in a very beautiful way. And his conclusion is very different. As we'll see, God willing, I hope, he doesn't boast in his earthly achievements, wealth, power, glory, his fame. It's quite the opposite. He says none of those things last. And that's partly what he's saying in this section, that none of those things, when you come to die, go with you. They're worthless. Even your name, it will be like a breath. The next generation will forget it. I mean, if you look at chapter 2 and verses 4 to 11, he gives us a little description of the wealth that he had, the gardens, the palaces he built, how he indulged in all the blessings that wealth and power brought him, everything that earthly success could bring. But look at his conclusion in verse 11. It's all breath. It will pass away. It's not real. It's insubstantial. It's temporary. And there's no profit in it. There's no profit, he says. You can't take it with you. Again, think about the contrast of Solomon's writing. The other ancient kings, they'd build their elaborate tombs, monuments to their glory, and they'd put their gold and their treasures in it, and they'd put their slaves in there, and as if they could take those things with them. But Solomon says, actually, no, all of that, it all actually just amounts to nothing in the end. It's just a breath. I read one commentator who said it's a bit like Solomon's got to the very top. You know, he's climbed to the top of the ladder and there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So in this autobiographical section, and I hope we'll come back to it, but he outlines some of the ways he was looking for profit. How do I find something that will last? And he says he turns to wisdom, meaning, I think here, really education, knowledge, learning. And then he threw himself into life's pleasures, wine, women, and song. He looked for it in success, in his huge building projects. But ultimately, what he's saying, his own experience, his own testimony, is none of those things last. On the last day when your breath ends, well, they don't amount to a hill of beans. All the things that the world might think are the greatest achievements, they're insubstantial like a breath. As we said before, what Solomon is doing is he's tearing down all our idols. All our our wrong ideas about success and significance. And he's sure that ultimately everything in this world comes to an end. He's puncturing our puffed up balloons of hot air, all our delusions of self-importance and grandeur. And he's exposing all our wrong ideas about what really matters. He's just bringing it into the light of the truth that we all die. And so it is sharp. It can be hard to hear. It's very humbling. But he's saying, look, if you make those things the goal and purpose of your life, whether it's knowledge, power, wealth, pleasure, he's saying you're going to be left bitterly disappointed in the end, because they amount to nothing but a breath. Now, lest you think maybe that sounds too dour, isn't Solomon really just saying from his own experience what the Lord Jesus says to us when he says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And when he says, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. They're just a breath. The Lord says the same things to us. And so that's an overview of what Solomon's saying in this section. And boy, isn't that a word we need to hear and be reminded of again and again, especially today? Because we live in such a materialistic, vain time when pleasure and knowledge and prosperity are judged as being what true success, as if that's what matters, is the measure of a life. Where everything around us revolves around the idea that the goal of life is to get more of these things. And even as Christians, it's so easy to get sucked into that spirit. It's like the air around us is thick with the smoke of that way of thinking, and we can't help but breathe in a little bit of it. And Solomon's brutal clarity is a bit like a gust of fresh air coming in to clear all that away, to help us to see things clearly and have the right perspective. Now, as I say, this is but an introduction to this section tonight, but where will Solomon take us? Well, where Solomon's going to take us, this is what the book is about, is he's going to teach us to have an eternal perspective, that this life is not all there is, that there is an eternal God. And the most important thing to seek in life is to know him, to serve and please him. Indeed, his great conclusion is what will count on the last day when your breath runs out is, have you lived in the fear of God? Fear is, in the Old Testament sense of the word, reverence, devotion, true faith. And Solomon's whole point is going to be, what will really matter at the end, what will profit, is, have you done the will of God? Do you know God? But along the way, Solomon is going to give us helpful wisdom for this life too, as we journey along. And he's going to teach us how to view achievements and possessions and things the right way. Because although he's saying none of those things last, he's not saying they're meaningless. Not at all. And there are good things that you should pursue in this life. In work, in pleasures, in building things. Rather, he's going to teach us the right way to think about them is that they are gifts from God. If you look at the end of this section, at verses 24 to 26 in chapter 2, this is how Solomon concludes this section where he personally shares what he's learned. And he says that knowledge, wisdom, possessions, pleasures, work, they're all good gifts from God. And when we understand that in the right way, it's actually really life transforming and it's life affirming. And so that's where I hope we will go as we continue to look at his words. And I once had somebody say to me, maybe it's because I'm getting to that age myself, I don't know, but that Ecclesiastes is kind of the book for a midlife crisis. That point when you're just getting old enough, you start to see in the horizon the end, and you start to think, well, I've made a lot of mistakes and regrets, and You start to think, what have I done with my time that goes so quickly? And Ecclesiastes is giving us some very practical, wonderful, comforting answers, actually. What will really count in the end is the fear of God and make most of each day of the gifts that God gives. And that's the right way to think. But just as one final thought, let me just try and bring you back to this focus on the fact that this is Solomon opening up his heart and really sharing his own experience here. And he does it in this humble way about his own striving. I want to put it to you that throughout this book, Solomon's acting like an evangelist. And he's reaching out to people, and I think to nations who do not know God. And he's writing winsomely, and he's asking these profound questions to share the faith and the truth about God with perhaps people who know very little indeed. And I want to suggest that I think we can learn a lot from Solomon and his personal approach here and the spirit in which he does that. That it's like he comes alongside us and says, yeah, I've shared in these struggles and this suffering too. And he asks the big questions, and he does it with sympathy. And then he points us to where there is real hope, to what matters eternally. And I think if we can try to capture something of that spirit and approach where we share the faith with people, I think it will be very effective to ask questions, to, with compassion, come alongside people, to even share our own experiences of the struggles and the questions, and to point people to the hope that we have in God. And so I hope that's something we can learn from Solomon and the very personal way he shares his experience.